This week in HPC by Intersect 360 Research, distributed by Inside HPC.
Coast to Coast HPC.
Highlights from GTC and HPCC.
It's This Week in HPC. Hello and welcome, everybody. Michael, we had a fun week in HPC this week. That's Michael Feldman. I'm Addison Snell. We're with Intersect 360 Research, and we were on opposite coasts covering the different HPC-related conferences this week.
Yeah, I was out here on the left coast at the NVIDIA GPU Technology Conference, GTC. You were there on the Newport Conference, the High Performance Computing Conference on the East Coast.
Formerly the National High Performance Computing Council and Conference, NHPCC. Everyone calls it the Newport Conference or right. HPCC. But yeah, I enjoy that one. Let's start with yours, which is certainly the bigger conference going on. Did NVIDIA succeed in its normal prediction of doing whiz-bang graphics and blowing people away with their keynote?
Yeah, it's always fun to see the keynote and all the keynotes on this show, because there's a lot of visualization, obviously, being a GPU conference. And it was very impressive and a very interesting set of initiatives and product sets and solutions put forward by Jensen in the original keynote on opening day there.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. I mean, I came from SGI, and I was used to seeing the best graphics in the world year after year on the best graphics supercomputers money could buy. I still see a lot of the same things out of NVIDIA. The state of the art is advanced, and now you're doing it not necessarily in a huge graphics supercomputer, but down at, you know, the chip level or the workstation level. It's incredible some of the things they can do.
Yeah, I mean, some of these things, you know, we've seen some of these things before in previous incarnations, but now you're able to do with very little hardware. I mean, some of these things are even shrinking down to embedded designs and being put into, you know, handheld tablets and iPhones. But
what was the gist of Jensen's keynote?
The real theme here was all about computer vision, machine learning, some of these neural network type implementations of what the GPU can do. There was a lot of about computer vision. They had a new appliance they came up with. It's basically the follow-on to one they had, the visual computing appliance that's NVIDIA branded. They put a stack of visualization software on it from iRay and some other people. But they've got 8 GPUs. It's basically a GPU server with 8 GPUs in it. And you can string them together. And they had a demonstration where they were doing a photorealistic visualization of a Honda automobile. And it was just absolutely stunning. And basically, they used a petaflop of these appliances, I think 19 of them, strung them together to show basically cutaways in photorealistic detail of this automobile. And it was incredible to see and just realize that, you know, basically you have 19 boxes behind the stage there doing this thing. And, you know, it was, for a product designer or somebody doing this, I'm sure something like this is invaluable and just sort of unprecedented than what could be done before.
Well, more importantly than the fact that it's cool and amazing graphics is that they're showing how it's related to engineering. This is an HPC-related application, right? They're doing entry-level, not just the graphics, the CAD aspects, but into the product design, the computer-aided engineering, right? They're tying all that in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, for some of this, you can certainly do that. I mean, the actual demonstration was just to do the photorealistic cutaways. But yeah, I mean, these things are general, basically rendering engines, rendering boxes. And you can, like, buy one or string them together. I think you can come with Ethernet or InfiniBand connectivity and, you know, put together a cluster of a rendering system integrated with the software. So you can do all sorts of things, you know, related to visual computing. I'm not sure what the whole stack is of software that comes with it, but yeah, I have a feeling there's whatever an engineer would need for visualization of product design would be in there.
Well, and it occurs to me that in some of these lower end configurations, you know, only a petaflop or whatever, but you get down to what you can put into a desk side or desktop form factor, with all of the GPU computing power. And it occurs to me that what they really succeeded in doing is bringing back the technical workstation. It got to where workstations, you know, back in the salad days of Silicon Graphics and Sun, these were beefy engineering machines that did a lot of computation, a lot of graphics, and they integrated the CAD and the CAE environments into a single desktop. It really feels like that has the potential to come back, where a workstation isn't a $2,500 gaming platform for a teenager, right? Put the work back into workstation again, and let's do some serious stuff with it.
Yeah, and the interesting thing now is these things are so powerful. It's not like when you had a workstation, you would set the rendering or whatever to go overnight. Some of this stuff can be done in real time now. I mean, you can look at a visualization of something and start to turn it, and yep, you can get a real-time visualization of what you're doing, and that's relatively new. And certainly at the level of infrastructure you can use to get that is right, very new.
Well, I mean, that's the nature of HPC, though, that things that weren't possible before become possible, and if they used to be possible on a big supercomputer, soon they're done in a rack or in a desktop or desk side form factor. So what we're seeing is the ability to really deliver this kind of capability now to the individual engineer.
Exactly. And I think the other big theme off of just rendering was about machine learning, computer vision, actually being able to look at pictures of things, identify things, and come to the conclusion of what this thing is. And again, this is being done in real time now on relatively small systems. So these things are... Well, it will eventually end up in things like cars that'll be self-driving. They'll be able to make determinations of where you are, and they will have the computer vision to be able to, at a level where you can actually drive the car in an automated fashion. So they were starting to demonstrate those things as well. And but I think the big news there for HPC aficionados, especially as you look out to, you know, to exascale, is they previewed their next generation architecture called Pascal.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask, is any kind of look at, you know, what's coming up or roadmap. It looked like from my chair in Rhode Island that people were sending some tweets from GTC about what this was going to look like in the future.
Yeah, I mean, this is all very exciting. This is actually the generation after Maxwell, which they've just introduced at the consumer level, and they'll have a Tesla version presumably up and coming. But this is the one they're talking about, the one they talked about at GTC was called Pascal. That's the generation after Maxwell. And that's going to come with some cool little bells and whistles like 3D stacked memory to get the bandwidth up, and a thing called NVLink to connect GPUs to GPUs and CPUs to CPUs and get off the slower PCIe bus. The overriding theme here is they're trying to like remove the bottlenecks that have traditionally been associated with GPU computing. You know, everything's now stuck on a PCIe bus, which is relatively fast compared to, you know, maybe an Ethernet or an InfiniBand network, but it's relatively slow when you're trying to talk between processors. So this NVLink is a big step forward, and it's sort of PCIe-like, except it's about, you know, 5 or 10 times faster than even the Gen 3 stuff. So it's going to be a big bump up in, you know, talking between processors and going out to memory and things like that.
Well, I agree with you that that's a big issue. I mean, when we've looked historically at accelerator adoption, there are a few main barriers in terms of adopting accelerators. One is maintaining the same pace of development that the microprocessor does. NVIDIA is driven by a gaming market that's even bigger, so no problem there. Another is programming, which NVIDIA addressed with CUDA. And a third is overcoming the latency hit that you get for moving the applications off chip. So this NVLink development is going to be a really important step going forward. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about the Newport conference that I was at.
Hi, I'm Martin Moyer, the managing director of the International Supercomputing Conference, taking place from June 22nd to 26th in Leipzig, Germany. This year, we will bring you the latest trends and developments in the field, including the Human Brain Project, quantum computing, and industrial HPC. Registration is now open, and if you sign up by May 13th, you'll enjoy a 25% discount. See you in Leipzig this summer.
Well, that's basically the highlights of what went on in GTC. I mean, that's actually a lot going on there. I talked to a lot of exhibitors as well. But with that in mind, I know you were at a conference on the at Newport. What were some of the big things on the agenda there?
Yeah. So also this week in HPC, we had the Newport Conference, the National High Performance Computing and Communications Council, going on in Newport, Rhode Island. I'll tell you what, I love this conference every year. The conversations that we get to have, really at a supercomputing level of scale for U.S. specific national initiatives for supercomputing, are top drawer. And the conference organizers have to be commended for reaching out more to academia and industry. When you look at a rundown on the website of who was speaking at the conference and the kind of conversations that it enabled, you know, we're hearing from industry people like J.P. Morgan and British Petroleum and Pfizer. We're hearing from a lot of the major academic institutions. We're hearing from Lawrence Livermore National Labs, and they're all talking about the kinds of research that we're doing, not just now, but especially in the future. The theme from this year's conference was supercomputing, where to from here. And there's a very forward-looking bent to all of the conversations.
Yeah, I always enjoy the Newport Conference for conversations just like that and presentations just like that. And I noticed when I went there especially and you had these end-user presentations, they seemed very candid. I mean, they were willing to part with a lot of information. The fact that you had J.P. Morgan there, especially just talking about financial services application, presumably, was, yeah, you know, I think it's telling in itself. Usually, some of these banks will not say much about what their applications are doing or their infrastructure or anything like that. But I think in that sort of intimate setting, they're much more willing to share what's going on. So that's very valuable.
It is an intimate setting. The downside is it's gotten almost a little too intimate. The problem is that this was always a very defense-focused conference, or at least a government-focused conference. And the government sequester, the enduring government sequester, is really keeping a lot of the traditional attendees from being there. There was no one there from the DOD side this time. The only DOE lab represented was Livermore, with a great presentation from Terry Quinn. But still, I think a lot of the sponsors show up at this conference wanting to have that government interaction. Now, that didn't keep there from being certainly very compelling, forward-looking talks on power consumption. I think my favorite talk was Wu Feng, who was on the final day on Thursday, looking ahead with the data based on the Green 500 and our ability to get to exascale by the end of the decade at either 100 megawatts or 20 megawatts or whatever your target is. We also had a lot of very compelling conversations about software and what needs to evolve as we go forward in scalability.
Yeah, those are good conversations. Certainly, you see those at some of these conferences talking about exascale. I mean, everybody's talking about what's the software model we're going to use as we go forward. Are we going to be able to meet the power requirements and things like that? It's a shame, like you said, that the DOE and the DOD are a little bit under the gun now because of sequester and not be able to participate in these things. It's important that they go forward with that because they're moving towards exascale too, and conferences like this are invaluable for those organizations.
Oh, absolutely. This is the conference where you would be able to do that, even more so than supercomputing, because of the right, of the conversation-based setting. So I'm really hopeful that by the time this conference comes around next year, that'll loosen and we can get some of these traditional participants back in. The vendors all also had something interesting to say. SGI has been a traditional sponsor of this conference, and Eng Lim Go gave a great presentation as usual. HP has been showing this a lot of support, and had Scott Massage and Keith Bizarnik there talking about both their volume products for HPC as well as their specialized products, where you look at here are particular configurations in the future that we can optimize for special workloads, and having candid conversations about that. And I think the one that was most intriguing for people is that Bo Ewald from D-Wave attended and gave a really practical conversation about where they are with quantum computing now. It was exciting to hear.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, but we all, that's right, he's end up at D-Wave now, a very interesting company we've talked about on a few occasions. And they're moving forward. It's not traditional supercomputing, but it's a very interesting sort of subset into how you do this high-end computing for a lot of different applications that you can't do with traditional computing. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, it was. He even dropped some interesting statistics on us there. Apparently, to do the quantum annealing, they have to create a pretty extreme environment. Their processing elements are the size of your thumbnail, but they're inside this huge box, and that's all to keep it cold and shield it from radiation and everything else they need to do to manage the annealing. He gave one statistic that the quantum processors inside the system operate at 0.02 degrees Kelvin, which is, he said, 150 times colder than interstellar space. I don't know how you calculate that, but it sounded impressive to me.
Yeah, it's a very interesting system. Yeah, most of the energy of that system goes to like keeping that thing cold. I mean, the actual processor itself, I don't think it's chewing up much energy. And it's just, like you said, it's right at the center there. It's like this big layer of plumbing around it. And then you've got the processor working inside it. That's a very interesting system. And yeah, I would have liked to have heard that presentation.
By the time we got to the end and I had my traditional panel wrap up with some of the end users, I tried to encapsulate some of the topics as I'd heard them, pushing especially on the software argument, you know, where we're hearing, all right, we need to do better with software, we need to do better with parallelism. I wanted to hear from the end users, when you say that, what and whom specifically do you mean, right? Who needs to be doing better with software? What do you want them to do specifically, and will you pay for it, right? And Henry Neiman, an old friend from Oklahoma University who does a lot of the weather stuff there, he gave practical answers. You know, he said that he wanted to see evolution of MPI, whether you call it MPI plus or something else, especially be able to handle multi-core, many-core, and better optimized codes. He's happy to see it come from the vendors. He's absolutely willing to pay more for it. The hiccup is that he wants it to be open standard, right? So even if one vendor produces it, it's got to work on everybody's systems.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and there's all the conversations around that as we progress to exascale are many. But the question is, who is going to do it and who's going to decide what these standards are at this point and how it's going to go forward? That's always the problem now when you've got this legacy of software that you're carrying along and then you want to introduce a somewhat new model, even if it's backwardly compatible, you have to get all the parties to agree. And that's, I think that's the crux of the issue. And it's not like they have to come up with this just for exascale. They have to come up with it as you go into hundreds of petaflop systems, that it becomes a little bit problematic to program these things as the number of threads scales out and as the many core systems sort of proliferate. So, yeah, sort of an open problem. And I'm sure this is the last time we'll hear about such issues.
Well, everyone there also seemed to be in favor of further government investment in supercomputing and the U.S. government being a more active part in this conversation. But maybe that's not surprising, and we'll see how that goes next year.
Yeah, a little ironic thing to say as the government is a little bit missing in action there. But yeah, certainly that's always now a big issue, and see what the government can do to support some of these initiatives.
Well, this week in HPC, we are on opposite coasts for conferences. Next week in HPC, we're going to be on different continents for conferences. You're going to be in Lugano, Switzerland for the HPC Advisory Council. I can't wait to hear what happens there. And I'm going to drop in on MoabCon and see what's going on with our adaptive computing friends.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to put it together again and give a brain dump of what we're doing there.
Hey, safe travels, pal. You got a longer trip than I do this time. I got the bigger one this time. You're making up for it next week. Travel safe.
Definitely am. Thank you.
You've been listening to This Week in HPC, brought to you by Intersect 360 Research, actionable market intelligence for high-performance computing. distributed by Inside HPC. News without noise for the high-performance computing professional. For more information, visit intersect360.com and insidehpc.com.